Dear brothers and sisters, service guests, it brings me great joy this evening to come before you and join in all that we've heard already at services and through our dear brother a moment ago, and to talk about, as we've heard already, this gift of music. So, this evening, I've entitled this presentation from the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, 7, "Sing to the Lord, make music to our God." That's the essence of our music. It is to the Lord, to our God, for the praise of God and the benefit of our faith. So this evening, we'll look a little bit at what Scripture says about music, and also what Luther says about music. We'll look at a few snippets from our history of music work in the North American Zion. And the reason for doing it, of course, there's always good reason to talk about history, but the reason for doing it this evening is that the questions that we deal with today have their background in our history, are affected by our history. So where we are today, what we experience today, questions that come today, there's often reasons that get left in the dust of history that help us to understand why things are what they are. So music, as we heard through Jim, is a gift of God. And also music is a tool of the enemy of the soul. Luther has said music has been implanted in all creatures and nature, for nothing is without sound or harmony. Now, if you boys and girls are really quiet, everyone's really quiet, we might hear some sounds of nature. If you listen closely, you hear the loons. Birds sing in nature, wind whistles, rain taps and splashes. Even trees can rustle like a song. There's a good series of articles in the Shepherd's Voice on music, 4 articles that I'd encourage you to read. I don't remember exactly where they are right now, but they so beautifully talked about creation and music. But also, music was part of creation. In the book of Job, the 38th chapter, verse 7, it says, "When God created the world, the morning stars sang, and there was joy." Luther has said that next to the Word of God, music deserves the highest praise. Then Luther also said, "The gift of language combined with the gift of song was only given to man to let him know that he should praise God with both word and music, namely by proclaiming the Word of God through music." Luther understood music's power. He said, "Whether you wish to comfort the sad, to terrify the happy, to encourage the despairing, to humble the proud, to calm the passionate, or to appease those full of hate, and who could number all these masters of the human heart, namely the emotions, inclinations, and affections that impel men to evil and good, what more effective means than music could you find? Good music ennobles our emotions and feelings, but bad music awakens sensuality and carnality and wears away our faith. Music is God's gift and the enemy's tool. The enemy of the soul uses this good gift to his benefit. He weaves sometimes such a fine net that the dangers of being snared into inappropriate music are not so readily seen. In North American Christianity, in our Zion in North America, we've found a lot of increase in interest in music in the last few decades. God has blessed this work so much. I remember growing up in the 1960s and 70s when I would say it's fair to say that most of us in North American Christianity did not understand a lot about good classical music. We sang songs of Zion at church, but many of us were not introduced to good music, good secular music. And so it seemed that we sang songs of Zion, of course, but then bad music, country music, was especially a temptation in my time of youth. And so the choices in some way were few because we weren't so aware of good music that was available. And so I've kind of thought of the time of the 1980s as a time of enlightenment in the area of music. And I say especially the Opisto work. Our young people going to Opisto and some of us that went there to teach, the exposure to the many music gifts in Zion and Finland helped our young people to also look at this precious gift from God and develop their gifts. And we are so thankful for that. But also in that time, I'd say there was a time of experimentation with other forms of music, in addition to songs and hymns of Zion, and sometimes trying out different areas of secular music, trying to find something appropriate. Sometimes the line got blurred between good and appropriate music. But in time, God gave understanding for that as well. And so the music gifts continued to develop. But today, music is everywhere. On social media, especially short-form videos, reels and shorts, TikTok videos. I had to get help on some of this terminology, but there's lots of music there. And I think it's an area of watching to think about when we send on a clip to someone with inappropriate music, and is it really something that we want to do? So the enemy disguises good forms of music together with bad. Serious and light, religious and secular, patriotic and country, children's music and rock, classical and popular, and New Age music. The enemy disguises inappropriate music with good lyrics and, or in other cases, an innocent or familiar melody. It's good for us to ask when we consider music, the music that we consume and listen to. It's good for always to ask, does this music that we are listening to draw us closer or away from the path to heaven? Because heaven is our goal. And music is an area in which one can stray. And it probably is particularly a temptation with young people to dabble in inappropriate music. And it can be the beginning of straying away from faith. And it's important for us to remember and consider this. We often speak and have spoken and heard in these services already of the congregation mother, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down from above. And we hear these words often from Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear. I've remembered for decades one music presentation that I heard by a dear brother who's at these services. And when, if I remember correctly, he was struggling in youth, dealing with music and what's appropriate. And his mother said something very important to him. What do the believers say, Johnny? What do the believers say, Johnny? That's important that we remember that, dear brothers and sisters. It's good to remember this in all that we do, not only in borderline music or music that's inappropriate, but also in developing music gifts with good intentions. There are also temptations that can come. And so it's good even in that to remember, what do the believers say? Even in this area of music, we have gone through tight times. Period of the 70s and 80s, when sometimes understandings got too tight in this area of music. And I was really heartened by listening to a podcast from the SRK. And there were a couple of musicians that spoke on there, along with a historian. And the musicians talked about how when things got too tight in Christianity regarding music in Finland, how difficult it was for them. But it warmed my heart so much to hear when the sister spoke on there and said that we wanted to stay in God's kingdom. Things didn't always feel right, but we wanted to be in the flock of God's children, be close to God's children. And when there's that kind of obedience, God gave understanding in His time and opened matters in His time. And today, we can look back at some of those times also in North American Christianity that have raised question and have been points of discussion. Luther has encouraged the young to cultivate the gift of music. You, my young friend, let this noble, wholesome, and cheerful creation of God be commended to you. By it you may escape shameful desires and bad company. So then, we've heard already so many beautiful songs and hymns of Zion being sung here at services when God's children gather together. It's a foretaste of heaven. Music is part of our worship service. In an LLC song leader's guide, it has these words about songs of Zion, that they are precious to the believers. They instruct and encourage us in faith and unite the congregation in a shared expression of faith, prayer, and praise. In sacred music and song texts, we can feel God's presence, be comforted and uplifted, and find words for emotions we may not be able to otherwise express. God serves musicians and listeners alike through music with healing and guidance. For these and all gifts, we can thank and praise God in song. Songs of Zion are always most dear, as Scripture brings it out, that we sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, and we sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And from Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Luther has written, "It was not without reason that the fathers and prophets wanted nothing else to be associated as closely with the Word of God as music. Therefore, we have so many hymns and psalms where the message and music join to move the listener's soul." These songs refresh faith, teach, and comfort the child of God. They are a gift of God and a weapon against the enemy. Isn't it so when we sing songs in our hearts and minds, we drive the enemy of the soul away? The book of Psalms, our songbook, like the book of Psalms, our songbook contains songs of praise, sorrow, and penitence. The book of Psalms was the Old Testament believer's hymnal. Then music in Scripture. There's a lot of music, use of musical instruments that's described in Scripture. This portion from 2 Chronicles, 5th chapter, describes when the Ark of the Covenant was carried into Solomon's temple. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood at the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. We see again and again in Scripture and in writings how the music is to the glory of God and to the praise of God. But brothers and sisters, think of this. One day we can go to our reward when we believe. Just as we have remembered those dear ones who have passed away recently, in faith and hope already here on earth, we sing of heaven, where our hymn will ring as the voice of many waters, as the voice of great thunder, and the voice of harpers harping with their harps, a new song before the throne. And what a song that will be. So then, a few snippets of history. The music work that's been done in the North American Zion gives perspective. The history gives us perspective. Today, we have an abundance of music for mutual enjoyment and support of faith. Recalling these former times, brothers and sisters, especially you, dear young brothers and sisters, it's amazing the gifts that God has given, the development of music gifts that are used for His praise and honor. It's overwhelming to think about what has happened. But we stand on the shoulders of the previous generations. Sometimes we can look back at the way things were done or things of the past in various areas of the work and wonder and think, well, you know, we're much more enlightened today. Well, we don't get to where we are today without the work that we have built on from the former generations to today. And we thank God for this. They sang, they praised God from the same heart. But music questions have been encountered before, will continue, and will be answered in God's time. Even now, as music develops in our Zion, the use of many gifts, there are questions that arise. But God's children can assuredly visit about these and together come to those conclusions that are suitable to God and His congregation. We live our time using the gifts that God has given. The gifts that we see today that have developed, as I've already pointed out, are used in this time. And we can freely, you young brothers and sisters and even older ones, can freely use those gifts that God has given you to His honor and glory, for your enjoyment, for the praise and glory of God, and for even for hobbies and a good pastime. But may God give us wisdom and patience to find a comfortable balance. Going back to what we heard earlier, what do the believers say, Johnny? And sometimes the believers might not fully understand the developments in music and have some reservations, and it's okay. We can discuss these things and be free with one another and hear one another from the heart. Preserving love among the believers is of utmost importance. Then a little snippet from our songbook history. Already right after the heresy of 1973, songbook work began because we discontinued using and buying the previous hymnal from the previous central organization. So there were dozens of meetings, thousands of hours of volunteers who educated themselves. That's one part of the work of the LLC, is that we've had to educate ourselves in these various areas of work or train ourselves in the right way. Because some of it has required expertise, has required development, has required trial and error. And God has blessed that work. So the Brown Book that probably the young people don't, even some young people don't even remember the Brown Book anymore. That would be the case. But 249 songs developed out of this work in the 70s and was published in 1980. And there were 9 original works of North American believers in that songbook. They did the work in unity of heart and spirit, which was most important. After the schism of 73, the believers wanted to draw together, and there was enthusiasm, and there was desire to work and desire to serve His children. It was a beautiful time that God blessed. In the 1980s, there was music work that happened. Again, immediately after the the schism. In 1981, the Publications Committee was given oversight for this work. You see these cassette tapes. Those were very common in those years. There would be informal recordings of songs, song services, or small groups singing, and then they would be duplicated and spread, and eventually the central organization did some of this. But we dealt with also some challenging questions at that time. For example, groups wanted to get together to sing, and we were reluctant to use the word choir at that time for fear of creating something bigger than what we had intended or something more lofty than what we had intended. But so often we use the term singing group tape, a singing group recording. But in time have realized that those kinds of things were unnecessary, but they were the time that we lived, and we discussed those, and God gave understanding and freedom. Then also in public education, in our schools, we are offered opportunities to be part of choirs and part of learning to play musical instruments and in orchestra and so forth. And so there was reluctance amongst believers to participate for the fear of losing faith. And I think it was a lot of it was just the unknown. We didn't have that much experience with it. And so there was reluctance to put children in music instruction and band and orchestra. But in time also, God gave understanding in that. And in the 80s, I think, later 80s, our children began to participate more in public music instruction. And so when we look back at these times, I think it's important to look back not in some negative way, but that was the time that we lived. God gave us that time. We lived through it. Some may have been disappointed with things that they would have liked to do but weren't able to do. But the believers wanted to stay in faith and weathered those times, and God gave understanding in time. Here you see the brown book and then the supplements that preceded it and the hymnal and so forth. So then, song leaders and organists, a little bit about that. They were traditions that were transplanted from Finland, and we continued the practice of song leader and organist. But I think I want to delve a little bit into history here again, because I think it's important. There was controversy over the use of an organ in services. For example, well, let's first of all say that the Bible, as we've covered already, the Bible tells us of musicians that used many instruments to worship together. It was a regular part of the life of God's children. But in Calumet, a minister by the name of Johan Takkinen was of the firstborn persuasion, which lived a very austere, strict outward life and fell to the law, into the law-minded spirit. But Takkinen was in Calumet, and there was there also people who appreciated music, and there was one teacher from Finland, Bekka Vesterinen, and they disputed over whether organs should be used in the church. And I'm going to read an excerpt from Peter Nevola's book here. Disputes erupted over the use of the harmonium or organ which was brought into the Calumet Church for use during song services and singing practice, led by teacher Pekka Vesterinen. Johan Takkinen, whose personal influence was at its height in the mid-1880s, ordered the organ removed from church. The denial of organ music was part of the asceticism, or austerity in appearance and manner, practiced by the extreme elements of the firstborn spirit, which ruled Takkinen and his supporters. Luther also had this experience in his time, when pipe organs were referred to by some as the devil's pipes. But eventually the firstborn departed from living Christianity. But it's amazing how long the misconceptions that they planted about music survived in the North American Zion. I don't consider myself very old, but some of you may disagree. But in the 1960s in the Minneapolis church, I remember there was discussion about whether to have an organ or not. And this was not isolated to Minneapolis. Imagine that. We were talking about Takkinen's time, 1880, but when that extends 80 years to my time, my childhood, and there were still questions that survived in Christianity about whether it's appropriate to have an organ in church or not. Then, song leaders in my childhood and youth, song leaders' selection in some congregations probably wasn't the most, they did not seek always the best gifts, as Scripture says. And I'm not saying that lightly. Sometimes what would happen at an annual meeting is someone would suggest their friend or someone that they wanted to just even poke fun at to be a song leader. Okay, so then the congregation agreed with it. And then the one who got selected would say, he'd select the guy that selected him. And this is the way song leaders sometimes were selected. And it wasn't a very good approach. But that kind of nonsense discontinued as time went on, and God blessed that. But I'll give you a little snippet of singing from 1973 in Minneapolis Fall Services. So as time has gone on, God has given us help to better sing, to sing closer to the music and so forth. But when I listen to that, it brings back good memories of childhood days, because the sincerity of faith and love of the believers comes to mind. But singing and accompaniment varied a lot across the country, or across the LLC. Some said singing according to the music isn't so important as long as you sing from the heart. Well, I think we can have both, singing from the heart and singing according to the music. But I want to just take one moment to remember a dear sister who has passed away, who did a lot of work in North American Zion for music, and that's Jane Ullinen. She died, if I remember correctly, towards the beginning of this year. And Jane did a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and we really appreciate the work that she did, along with many others. But Jane said this about singing and singing and playing in various congregations. She said, sometimes the organist had one tune, the song leader had another, and the congregants followed one or the other. So that's the way it was. But then in the 1980s, song leaders and organists workshops began, and opisto work began. And I mentioned also the work at camp that has been often mentioned, Stony Lake Camp and other camps that developed afterwards, and the work that Peter Nevola did to encourage singing, music, and development of music gifts, we appreciate yet today. God bless that time that we have built from. Then in 1990, we had a tour of the congregations by a Finnish cantor, Yrjö Koskimäki. And here was a music camp at Stony Lake. John Blomqvist was translating for Yrjö here, and as he did for a few months, he was younger then, as you can see. So the purpose of that trip was to consider the attitude of believers towards music and the significance of music in the kingdom, discussion of how to get our children interested in music, instruction in congregational singing and accompaniment, and instruction for singing groups making AALC singing cassettes. So these presentations that dear brother Yrjö kept energized interest in improving congregational singing and demonstrated what a little bit of practice and training can do. It also encouraged those that had music gifts to develop those gifts. And then later, our brother Sheldon Ulioja, who was, I think, the organist tonight, who's a cantor in Finland, made a similar tours. I think once it happened in the year 2001, if I remember correctly. And so these kinds of developments have taken place. But Koskimäki's tour was very significant. The one thing that he was able to do is reach the older generation and the younger generation. And that was a beautiful thing. There'd be many stories, but I think we better not go there. Then the music committee was established in the 1990s to oversee and direct the content collection and organization of music materials used for publication and instruction by LLC. Things like a new hymnal, production of recordings, instructional materials. The committee's objective was to foster the use of music on an individual and congregational level for soul's comfort, encouragement in living faith, and the praise of God. I want to back up for one moment and also remember a dear brother who also passed away just a few weeks ago, Ben Huhta. Ben has also, God gave him gifts to plow furrows, new furrows, in North American Christianity in the area of music. And God blessed his work. He was on the music committee for about 25 years. And for the History Project, he shared his early memories of his pursuit of music. He said, my family was very supportive of higher learning. Listening to music together was something we enjoyed as a family, but singing was the most common musical activity. Then he said, he talked about the significance of the opisto. He said, I was at the opisto for 1 year, and Anna-Lena Kankkonen, the Jämsä music teacher, took me under her wing and provided numerous musical opportunities to direct choir and participate in interesting music events. Then to more familiar times, the current songbook that we have and the chorale book, 2008 and 2016. And I did a quick count. There are 26 North American writers that have produced 21 songs. Well, how can that be? How does the math work out there? Five people worked on the same song, so that's the key. But we see how things develop. This group, along with a couple of others, did lots and lots of work. 5,000 hours of committee meetings. We thank God for their work. Then music work today. Encouragement for North American musicians, composers, and lyricists. I would say that this kind of encouragement and support that we have today has been a very positive thing. There are always dangers, but God has blessed. God has given a way forward in this work. And so the attempt today is to establish consistent standards in music publications. And for the help in this music work, the LLC hired a music coordinator that reflected the growing awareness in North America of the importance of music. Then further, music work today, material support, materials, print and online, hymnal, supplements. I've seen the supplement advertised, the songs that start at 700. I think each year we're going to get a new supplement, and it's in your electronic songbook as well, that you can look at them starting with, I think it's 705. Intros to Songs and Hymns of Zion, children's books, Sunday school curriculum is a new one, introducing some lessons that congregations can choose to use to develop music in Sundays as part of our Sunday school, especially in congregation music. And then there's the songbird videos that you children know about for learning songs and hymns. The website has information on the lectionary, instructional videos on organ playing and song leading, a choral library. There are also camps, area and international. An international music camp will start shortly at Haskib Lake. Congregation and big service worship support, providing tools, workshops, resources for song leaders and accompanists. And then there's global translation work with the mission work that's taking place. Choirs, children, youth, and adult. Songwriting and composing. Much encouragement in this, and much is happening and will continue to happen. Albums, congregational, choir, instrumental. Music committee continues to seek its direction in changing times. May God bless that work. Then I want to take a few moments to talk about wedding music. There's a pamphlet that the LLC has put out on the Christian wedding. And regarding wedding music, it says, a Christian wedding is held because the couple wishes to sanctify their marriage with God's word and with prayer. The couple beseeches God for his blessing and help in their marriage. The entire congregation joins in their humble petition. So we want our weddings to please God and His children. There's been work on wedding music. There's a vocal music for the Christian wedding, vocal music for the Christian wedding called Joyous Wedding Bells. And volume one is out, and I can't remember where we're at. I know they're working on another volume. But this is something congregations may want to purchase if you don't have them. And of course, individuals are free to purchase it as well. Lots of good possibilities for Christian music at weddings. I'll read further in this booklet. Music at a wedding is closely associated with supplements and wedding rites, which are themselves built upon God's word. For this reason, scripture-based songs and hymns of Zion are the most beautiful music for a wedding. Congregation singing uplifts the couple and strengthens their feeling of unity with God's congregation. Then further, there are also classical pieces which are fitting and can freely be used at Christian weddings, but not all classical pieces are appropriate either. When they are used, the classical pieces are best suited for the entry or exit of the bridal party and not interwoven into the wedding rites. And lastly, the use of contemporary light religious or secular music, oftentimes borderline music, does not belong to Christian weddings. Even when such music and its lyrics are not offensive, they are so foreign and strange to God's congregation and the spirit of the Christian wedding that they cause unrest and offense. In this area, I would mention also that probably most often when some questionable music is used at a wedding, it's due to a lack of knowledge of where the music comes from and its background. And for example, movie music that is part of movie themes sometimes becomes popular and people don't realize where they're from. So it's important to look at where the music comes from. And then, dear young brothers and sisters and families, when you consider preparing for a wedding, remember that God's congregation is gathered there together to wish you blessings, to pray for you, to support you in this new chapter in your life. May the music be that which is fitting to the occasion and speak of marriage and the beauty of marriage and of being a child of God. Sometimes with sorrow, we've had to acknowledge that some organists have said that I won't play that music. It doesn't fit a believing wedding. And so then people have been disappointed, the couple has been disappointed and goes to seek another organist that will play it. This doesn't feel good. If organists, people that are aware of music and its background, give advice, or ministers, most of us ministers don't know so much about it, but if you get good advice, listen to that advice, heed that advice, because it will make your wedding only more special. So, we'll move on from weddings. Then programs and music evenings have been another area of discussion. Programs at camps, in local congregations, at LLC events. At our 50-year anniversary, we had a program here, as you remember. The programs can be around church calendar events, dedication services, congregation anniversaries, and also smaller events. It's important at programs also that the focus would be on praising God with both word and music, namely by proclaiming the word of God through music. We all have the risk in serving God's kingdom in whatever capacity, also in music, that our flesh and blood wants to seek the honor and glory to ourselves. But may God preserve us from this and hear the voice of the Spirit that speaks in the congregation. Then, regarding programs, while it's not a requirement, and there are situations where that are different, it always feels very comfortable when the reading or preaching of God's Word is part of a music evening or program through a devotion or cantata. And there are exceptions, certainly, to this, but it really, I think, rounds out the program when we combine God's Word together with music and songs which also speak God's Word. Then it's good to remember that there are many gifts in music, and certain styles of music or a melody variation might feel different, but it doesn't mean that it's not of the Spirit. Sometimes it's our lack of knowledge. And I'll give one example. There was a recent recording from maybe a year ago from the International Choir Camp that was held after summer services last year, where they went back to an original, if I got it right, melody from Luther's time for A Mighty Fortress. And that felt foreign to us, because we had never heard it before, or to some of us. And so sometimes the lack of knowledge of where things have come from, we need to also be understanding of that and learn ourselves. So this is an area of discussion, brothers and sisters, this area of programs and musicians serving in this way. And let's do this together in the spirit of mutual love and in a constructive way. So then, other discussion points. How can we create awareness of and cultivate interest in good music, religious and secular? As I think, for example, with classical music, the right kind of classical music from way back when, there's a real benefit in learning that, because I think it helps, that kind of interest helps us to stay away from that music which is inappropriate. It's clear to us that popular music, for example, rock and country, are offensive to the believer. But then we get to New Age, for example, and that can appear to be innocent, but not be. It's good to think about and learn about the background of New Age music that can be hypnotic, can affect your body, appeals to the flesh. When I've listened to some New Age music, it just seems like it never ends. The loop just keeps going, 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 and that's my very unqualified way of describing the kind of music, the way it feels to me. I'm wondering, well, when's something going to happen here in this music? But it is important to know about the music, and then to remember that classifications of music doesn't mean that if something is classified as classical music that it's appropriate. Spotify, for example, classifies anything in the last 25 years as New Age. So that's probably not an accurate classification. So classifications don't always tell us what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. So then, good to remember that believers' interest in and awareness of music varies greatly. From professional musicians and dedicated enthusiasts to those who prefer to only listen to congregations singing. We have a broad range. And it's good that we understand one another and speak to one another and encourage one another and seek that which is good for us and pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So bearing this in mind, let us constructively move forward with music work, maintaining the love of the believers, trusting that God will reveal what is good for our faith and good for His congregation. Then I'm going to conclude with a couple of snippets from an editorial that was recently published in the Päivämies, because they are discussing these same kinds of questions in Finland, but due to their probably broader and more long-time exposure to music and the gifts of music that have been there for a longer time, they're in slightly different situation, but similar questions nonetheless. So I'll read this in conclusion. Believers live in very different musical realities, and there is great need for open discussion. Such discussion is necessary so that the enemy of the souls would not succeed in driving a wedge between believers in matters of doctrine or teaching. Our teaching must remain clearly united. Yet in questions related to Christian conduct and daily living, there's not always a single correct answer to every situation. In such matters, the importance of watchfulness in faith and mutual support becomes especially evident. Then, what is essential is that all discussions, including those concerning music, be characterized by grace and humility, and by a desire to seek together solutions that are in accordance with God's will and supportive of faith. The gift of music that God has given is, at its heart, a joyful and enriching blessing in life, something for which we can give thanks. So we have much reason for thanksgiving this evening, brothers and sisters. God has blessed us with music and music gifts, and we continue to enjoy it. May He preserve us in faith, even in these, in keeping faith and good conscience. But this evening, brothers and sisters, as we close our day, you can uplift your hearts to believe the most beautiful message, that all you can believe all of your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. And be of good cheer. Believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. Be of good cheer. God desires to bless us with this gift also in His kingdom. May He continue to bless us and keep us. We will close in prayer with the words of a song. Bless us, Father, and protect us. Be our soul's sure hiding place. Let thy wisdom still direct us. Light our darkness with thy grace. Let thy face upon us shine. Fill our hearts with peace divine. May we heaven's joy inherit. Praise the Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.